cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Amen? And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Amen. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning again, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your precious word. I want to thank you for the spirit that we feel. And Father, I ask you for the anointing here this morning, Lord, because without it, Lord, I might as well just sit down, Lord, and forget about it, Lord, and just sit down and be quiet. But Father, I know and pray, Father, with you and by you, I can and you can accomplish things, Lord, here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. When I read this story, I'm reminded of a very proudful and arrogant lion. And I'll tell you this story. This lion, he went up to a gazelle. And when he went up to this gazelle, he asked the gazelle, he said, who is king of the jungle, gazelle? And you know what that gazelle said to him? He said, you are mighty lion. That's what he said. So the lion thought, well, he went to the giraffe and he did the same thing to him. He said, giraffe? He said, who is king of the jungle? And the giraffe bowed down to him and said, well, you are mighty lion. Then he seen a monkey playing. So he went to this monkey. And he said, monkey, who is king of the jungle? And this monkey was startled. And he said, well, you are king of the jungle, mighty lion, you are. Then he wasn't happy with that. So he seen this big bull elephant off in the distance. And he went up to that elephant. And that elephant was standing there eating. And he asked that elephant, he said, elephant, who's king of the jungle? The elephant didn't pay him a bit of attention. He went on eating. The lion started getting mad. He said, lion, I know you heard me, and I'm asking you one more time, who is king of the jungle? Lion didn't pay him a bit of attention. The elephant didn't pay him a bit of attention. Went right on eating. So the third time, he goes right up to that elephant, and he looks him right in the eye, and he says, elephant, I know you heard me, and I'm telling you, you better tell me who's king of the jungle. Without hesitation, the elephant rushed out with his trunk, grabbed him around the neck, bam, slammed him about 7 times on the ground, then threw him up against the boulder, then went back eating. The lion, of course, was stunned. He was, dazed, and he looked up, and the lion said, I know that you didn't understand the question, but there's no need of you asking me like that. And you know that's funny, but you know the scripture that I read there today? There's a lot of people who are just like that lion. Do you say amen to that? There's a lot of people who are just like that lion. You know, they think they're a bag of chips and everything else. They do. They think they're everything. You know what? They go about their life, and they go about roaring, and they say, just like the lion, they say, I'm a Christian. Look at my works that I do. And they're proud about the works that they do. They go about to me and they say, look at the gifts of the Spirit that I have. That's what makes me a mighty Christian, right? That's what they like to say. They like to say, look, I've been baptized. That's what makes me a Christian. They like to say all this stuff. They like to tell themselves, look at me. Look how much I read the Bible. Look how much I pray. Look how much I go to church. And you know what? That's what they try to say, just like that lion. They go about roaring it, and they go about saying, man, look what I do. This is what makes me a mighty Christian. But you know what Paul said right there in verse 14? But God forbid that I should glory in anything save for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all that they have. That's all any of us have to glory in. That's it. Praise God. I am so glad. Paul was talking to the Galatian Christians here because what was going on, whenever you read those verses of Scripture, there was Jewish people, Jewish Christians, that were trying to come in and infiltrate them and tell them that they had to be circumcised. That's what would make them a Christian. I want you to know something this morning. The only thing that makes you a fit subject for the kingdom of heaven is whether or not you've accepted Him as your personal Savior. That's it. It doesn't make any difference, per se, about the rest of that stuff that they try to put upon you. I want you to know, the only thing that you and I have to glory in this morning is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the cross of anybody else. The Bible doesn't say it's the cross of anybody else. The Bible tells me it's the cross that Jesus Christ died upon. Amen? That's the only cross. You know, it's not important what that wood was made out of. It's not important about the shape of it. You know what was important about it? It was the man that hung on it. And that was Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what was important about that cross. You know, we can wear crosses around our neck. We can do all manner. I'm not saying anything against it. But praise God, the only cross that's going to do anything for us is the cross that Jesus Christ died on. And whether or not we accept it. Praise God. I just want to tell you what. You know what? The people like to brag about so many different things. You know what? That's why Galatians 16 gives us the very striking phrase that it does. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I to the world. We have nothing to hang our hats on except the cross of Jesus Christ. And Him dying. That's all we have. That's all we have, brothers and sisters. Praise God this morning. I am thankful that He was willing to go to that cross and accept it and take it upon Himself. There are those who might think that the cross was not important and that Jesus is not important. Let me tell you something. During the time that Jesus Christ was on this earth at about that time, do you realize there was like 30,000 other Jewish men that died upon the cross? Do you realize I'm talking about Jewish, not to mention all the rest of them else in this world? Name me two of them. I know you can name me one of them. Jesus Christ died upon it. Name me another one other than Jesus that is, has the importance. It was none that you could mention. None. Praise God, I want to tell you something. I want you to know this morning that the cross of Jesus Christ is the most important thing. The most, praise God, has been said in nothing in history. And the history of this, or in the universe, cuts us down to size. Like we are at the feet of Jesus Christ on the cross. Nothing cuts us to the heart any more than that. Praise God. Whenever there's this delusion of self-righteousness in the world today, I want you to know, sir, I've seen so much of it. I've heard so much of it. I've seen it preached so much that you have to do this and you have to be that. And brothers and sisters, listen to me. Whenever I got saved, I didn't do anything except Jesus Christ into my heart. I didn't have to do anything else. I got up out of that. You heard my story. When I got up out of that, I knew that I was changed. I want you to know something this morning. When Jesus Christ comes into your heart, I want you to know, you will know that you have been changed. You'll know it. There'll be no doubt. You'll not have to worry about whether or not that Jesus is coming. You'll know. I knew it. I am so bound on it. I'm settled on it because I know it. Why is the cross important? Because, brothers and sisters, it takes those that are lost. It takes the sinners in this world. And you know what? It's that gulf that is spanned between the ungodly and the sinners in this world and those in Jesus Christ and God. It is Jesus, the cross, that had that span across there, was it not? Amen. That's why Paul worked with concern for the Galatians. That's why he was concerned in these verses of Scripture. Listen, in verse 12, it says, as many as desire to make a fair shoe. Well, I'll tell you what, there are people wanting to make a show out there today, is there not? Paul was worried about it because he knew what was going on. There are people who want to make a show. They want to put on airs. They want to make you think that they're the biggest Christian that ever walked down the walk. But I'm telling you what, it's not what's on the outside that counts. It's what's on the inside. That's what counts. He knew that they were being in danger of being seduced by false teachers. And I want you to know something, in this world we live in today, there are false teachers on every hand trying to put out there their venom and trying to put out there the things that they think that we ought and should do. But praise God, Jesus Christ said it best. He said, you know what, right there. He said, listen to me. He said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. That's what we need. Jesus who died on the cross and rose again the third day. Nothing else is needed. Circumcision wasn't needed. I want you to know that. Sir, nothing was needed other than believing in the cross that Jesus Christ died on. Amen? That's all. What was happening to this Christian could be easily repeated today. It could be. When you try to take away the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, I want you to know you have nothing left if you take that away. You have nothing left. You're just out there just wandering about aimlessly because you do not accept the work of Jesus Christ. You know what? There are lots of people that believe in Jesus' words. There are. There are lots of people that... Do you believe this? Gandhi. You know, who in here knows who Gandhi was? I can't think of his first name. What was his first name? Anybody? Huh? Mahatma Gandhi. Yeah. He was a great Indian. Great teacher from India. He was a Hindu. Anyway, he said this, and I wrote this down because I thought the manuscript. He said that his teaching is the very thing that the world needs. That's what he said about Jesus' teaching. He said that. But now listen to that. And indeed it does. It is the exact thing that the world needs, is the teaching of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because the theory is that if we all practice it, what a better world than we would live in. If you would just do what it said on the Sermon on the Mount, believe what a different world it would be if the world just practiced that. There are others who believe in the ethical teachings of Jesus. They believe it. You know what? Because they fit into their social ideas sometimes. But they will strongly disagree with you when you try to tell them that they need to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. That they need to accept the finished work of God. They will agree with you pretty much on everything in Matthew, the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter, right? But you tell them that they need to repent. You tell them, like Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And there's where the gulf starts. Amen? That's where it starts. Then they'll try to tell you and preach to you out of the Sermon on the Mount. You know what they'll do? They'll go, judge not that ye be not judged, brother. Don't do that to me. Don't judge me. For what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And for what measure ye might, ye shall be measured. They can quote those scriptures right there verbatim, can they not? But praise God, you let them, you tell them that they've got to repent. That they've got to accept the finished work of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and there's where the trouble will start right now. That's where it starts, because they do not want to accept Him as their personal Savior. They like His words. They like what He had to say in some instances, but they do not want to accept Him as a personal Savior. Folks, it's true that the world will be a much better place, but why didn't Paul say then, God forbid that I should glory, save in the Sermon on the Mount? He didn't say that, did he? He said, God forbid that I should glory only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? God's words, His Bible, the teachings that come directly from Jesus' lips will not save you unless you accept the finished work of the cross that was done whenever Jesus Christ died there. You can read the Bible all you want. You can read it from back to cover. You can take and you can study it till the day that you die. But if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, it will not do nothing for you. You'll just have knowledge of what the Word says. Paul knew that the teachings alone was not sufficient to save anyone. If teachings alone could have saved us, if the Bible alone could save us, why in the world did Jesus have to go and die on the cross? If the words, the teachings could have saved us, what? If the Ten Commandments could have done the work, why did Jesus have to go? Because there had to be a perfect sacrifice. Amen? They sacrificed all these. They tried to get the perfect lambs. They tried to get the perfect goats. If you read the Old Testament, it was full of that. But that only covered things up. But I want you to know something, but it took a perfect sacrifice. Romans 7:21 through 25 says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil was present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Now, I'm going to ask you that right now. We'll stop. I'm going to read the rest of it here in a minute. Who's going to deliver him? Paul was asking the question, who was going to deliver him? Then he answered it right in the next verse. I thank God for Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our only hope. That's our only salvation. It isn't what took place in the Ten Commandments. It isn't what took place on the Sermon on the Mount. I want you to know, if you do not accept Jesus, you might as well not even read the rest of it. You've got to read Him and take it in and accept Him. Praise God, because His words are true in life, but we can only understand it if we accept Him into our heart. It's the work of Jesus Christ in your life. It's not what your mother's done. It's not what your dad's done. It's not what anybody else in this world done. It's what you do with Jesus Christ. It's what you do. There's too many people out there in this world that I think they're trying to get to heaven on mommy and daddy's coattails. Ain't going to work. Doesn't happen. I want to tell you something. Mommy and daddy are going to go to heaven one of these days, and if you don't accept Jesus, you may not get there. Amen or oh my. I'm just telling you. That's just the way it is. That's the way the Bible says it is, not the way Dave Long wants it to be. You know, I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. I don't want to see that for no one. That's why I want to stand up here and preach to you this morning. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. The Word, the teachings alone can't save you. You know what? It can't take you to finish. It takes the finished work of Jesus. The Bible doesn't teach us to, listen to this, live like the Word tells you so you'll become a Christian. You know what? That's not how you do it. I can go here out here and obey every law that's in that book and say that I do it, and that's not going to make me a Christian. I become a Christian, and then the Word tells me how to live. Amen? That's what it does. You know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. We work out our own salvation. But I want to tell you something, the rest of that verse, it says you work it out in fear, and you work it out in trembling. Don't you work it out on your own thoughts. Don't work it out on the way that you feel. Don't work it out on the way. It says you work it out in fear and trembling. You get in the Word of God. You let it deal with you. And you have it there. And you let God work with you with fear and in trembling. Don't do it haphazardly. Don't do it because, you know what, it's just the thing that the mommy and daddy wanted you to do or the preacher tells you to do. You work it out yourself. There's too many people, I'm afraid, that aren't doing it in fear and trembling. They're just wanting to do it because they have an ideology. Or they have something in their own way that they want to make it right. I'll tell you what, that's not the way to do it. The death of Jesus on the cross wasn't an accident. You know that? It wasn't an accident. It wasn't the greatest tragedy of all time either. And you say, what? No, it wasn't the greatest tragedy of all time. Plain and simple, it means our salvation. Amen? That's what it means. It was the only way you and I could become righteous before God that had made us. And you know what? Sometimes people ask, well, let me get this straight. You mean to tell me that God sent His own self down here to die on a cross, that you know what? So where we could have salvation. I said, you know what? That's exactly the way He did it. Because He knew that that's the only thing that was perfect. That's the only thing that would do what we needed to be done. And I want to tell you this morning, praise God that He did it. I thank the Lord today that He saved me. He was willing to come down here and die on a cross. That you know what? Someone like me and you could have salvation in your heart. I am glad. I'm telling you what. They can say what they want to. They can call me closed-minded till the day they put me in the grave, okay? I don't care. I really and truly, I can honestly say this. I don't care what they think if they think I'm closed-minded. I don't care what they think if they think that I'm old-fashioned. I really don't care. As long as I preach what God wants me to preach. Nor was it imitated. Plain and simple. First, the only way you and I can have righteousness is through Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? The only way. As morbid, as ghastly, a scene that took place on that day on the cross. Paul still telling the Galatian church, but you know what? He still tells them there that if we should glory saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the way that they beat Him, the way that they tortured Him, and we should still glory in the cross. Yes, we should. Yes, we should. Yeah, praise God. When Jesus came on the scene, He was the ultimate sacrifice. John 1:29 tells us, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect one. There was no fault found in Him, none. There was none found in Him. Nothing that the world tried to say or do. Nothing. He didn't say, cover up our sins. He said, which taketh away the sins of the world. So we know that He was the perfect sacrifice. It took God's own Son to do that. Romans 8:32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall we not with Him also freely give all things? Now I want to ask you a question this morning. You be honest with your own heart. How can you not freely give everything for Him, for the one that done so much for you? I mean, that's just a simple question. I want to ask you that. You ask it in your own heart this morning. You ask your own self, am I giving all that I can give? I'm not talking about money and riches and resources. I'm talking about you. That's what I'm talking about. Are you giving all that you can give? Ephesians 2:16, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. There was a divide that only God could fill. That's through His Son Jesus. Amen? If there was no cross, there's no redemption. No redemption? Can I tell you this? There's no hope. There's no hope. None. You know, in communist East Germany, I read this story the other day and I thought this was very interesting. Whenever before the wall was torn down, you know the whole situation. But anyway, they built this big TV tower. And what it was is to spread propaganda. It was about the Communist Party and also about there's no God. That's what they wanted to spread. Well, they built this thing, and whenever they built it, they put this big globe on top of it. It was a restaurant. Well, lo and behold, whenever the sun hit it right, guess what appeared on the ground? A cross. They were so sickened by this that they tried everything to cover it up. They said they painted it. I read that they did all manner of things, but they could not cover it up. Every time the sun hit it right, a cross would appear. You know what? This old preacher seen it over there. He'd went over there and seen it, and he said, you know what? Try as they may, they could not hide the cross. I cannot hide the cross from my life, folks. And you can't either. You cannot do it. If Jesus Christ has done the work in your life, you cannot hide what the cross has done in your life. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it may be. I read that and I thought, man alive, I said, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Praise God. Nothing worked. The enemies of the cross are many. And they have been around forever, and they will be here till Jesus come back. Paul tells us in Philippians 3:17-21. Brothers, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross. There's enemies of the cross out there today. I don't have to tell you that. They're there. They're all around. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from hence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, there is enemies of the cross out there on every hand. And I want you to understand something. We can stand up against it. And how do we do it? Like the Bible says, through Jesus Christ. We proudly tell them, yes, I believe in the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. Not anybody else's cross. Not anybody else who's been martyred. But I believe in Jesus Christ, the finished work that He done upon the cross. All the enemies of the cross in the past are gone, are they not? The Hitlers of the world, the Roman Empire, all those who strive to destroy Christianity, try to make the cross of no effect, they're gone. And I want to tell you something. 100 years from now, if this God allows this world to stand, those people who are trying to tear the cross down today will be gone, and the cross will still have the power, still hold the power to save, still hold the power to do what it's supposed to do. It will always hold it. They're gone, but the cross still remains. Colossians 1:20, and listen to me, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, have you made peace this morning? Do you know the peace of God that passes all understanding? I want to tell you something this morning. It's through the blood of the shed on, precious blood that was shed on Calvary. That's all that it was. by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself by Him. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Folks, there's been countless numbers of people that have died and lifted up their eyes in hell because they thought the preaching of the cross was foolishness. They thought it. They were absolutely thinking that it was. I want to tell you something. They're finding out now that it was not foolishness, right? They know it was. We have a message to share, folks. And it's the message of the cross. To those who don't believe, it can be offensive. But to us who believe, it is powerful. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to who? The Greek, which is who? That is us. We're Gentiles. We're the Greeks. Praise God this morning. I want you to know something. Hold the cross up high. I know this probably would be a better Easter sermon, but God didn't want me to preach it then. I want you to know something. The cross is powerful. The cross does a mighty work when nothing else can. It can do things, folks, that we can only imagine. Praise God for the blood. Thank God for the cross. I love it. They come and get a song.